Good morning, Central Baptist Church family and guests. We want to welcome you to this April the 5th, 2020 Palm Sunday morning service. So we're glad that you're joining us in the midst of the pandemic. At least we have this way an opportunity to come to you by way of technology. I want to go ahead and mention to you that if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Once again, that's Matthew's Gospel in chapter 21 today, and look at the events leading in to the crucifixion and the events that take place, as well as those surrounding it, and where we get the name of the day that we celebrate today, which we call Palm Sunday. So if you've got your Bible, again, we're going to look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. I do want to take this moment to pause and, as we normally do, take an offering. I want to encourage you right now to, in just a moment, to hit the pause on this video. Go over to our website, which is oakridgecbc.org. You can look for the giving tab there. You can click that, and please remain faithful with your tithes and offerings. We're so grateful for so many folks who have done that. We're going to weather this storm, but we can only do it with your help. So if you'll do that, I'm going to go ahead and ask the blessing upon the offering, and then you can hit pause, take care of your giving, and then join us back here on this video. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. All provision comes from you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather, even by way of video today. So, Lord, you have blessed us in many, many ways. Lord, we realize you ask but just a small portion for us to return back to you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing so, as you have provided a method and a way. And Lord, not just because, you know, we want to be able to pay the bills at the church, but also that we might be blessed. Father, we give as an act of worship to you today. So Lord, right now, bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to go over and maintain your giving. Today, we want to look at some passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, that are concerning what we call Palm Sunday. You know, Jesus and his disciples are approaching Jerusalem, and this marked the beginning of the end. And I say the end of one era, but that taking that era out would usher in a new era, an era that when we have the opportunity to talk about the Lord's Supper, if you will remember when we take the cup, Jesus said this. He said this, in like manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Well, that's exactly what Jesus was about to usher in with his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Yeah, at this particular point in the scripture, there were still some things that lay ahead of Christ. There was the trial as well as the crucifixion. Then would come the time of the resurrection of Christ and then the birth of the church. So thousands of people at this particular point had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. This was something that scholars believe there were somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300,000 people who had gathered together there. Even Pilate was coming down for this particular ceremony, not necessarily because he believed that Christ was the Messiah, but to make sure that things didn't get out of hand. Rome had a pretty heavy hand in rulership and leadership in that particular region, and that's a very, very important point, because as we come to it, as Jesus began his triumphal entry, there were a lot of folks who thought, well, here comes the king, but they weren't looking at the king from the spiritual sense. They were looking for a king that was going to be able to deliver them from the hand of the Romans. So they were looking at Jesus as going to be some political powerhouse that would come in, kind of clean house and make everything good for the people. So they were looking for a king in a different sense of the nature. So there were a lot of interesting things that took place in accordance with his entry. And we'll come back to that point in just a moment. But we want to look, first of all, at the scripture, which is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on him and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. And again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time and opportunity that we are preparing to celebrate. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ and the sacrifice upon Calvary's cross that makes salvation possible to each and every one of us. Lord, as we remember this week, we think about all that you went through. We think about the trial. We think about the whippings that you took for us. And Lord, we're reminded of the scripture that says that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. But Lord, it's by your stripes that we are healed. Lord, I pray that you will bless this time that we will spend together around your word. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages, there are several players that we see that played an important part in this triumphal entry of Christ. And why do we call it the triumphal entry? Because it was actually the beginning of essentially the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which does make salvation for each and every person possible. But particularly down there in verses 2 through 7, I want us to go back there for just a minute. Because Jesus was telling his disciples as they were preparing to enter the city, he said this. He said, go to the village, verse 2, go to the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. That sounds like a little bit of a strange request. I mean, if you would have been one of the disciples who had heard this, it kind of sounds like Jesus said, I want you to go down into town and I want you to hotwire a donkey and bring it back. If you're one of the disciples and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, the Lord's just asked us to do this, does it mean he wants us to take it? Here's a really interesting thing that I want us to understand about this point, that's something I've been pointing out for a long time, and I want us to consider this, particularly in the midst of where we are in this pandemic at this particular moment. You see, when these disciples went down there and they found that donkey, and essentially the Lord Jesus said, to just go ahead and loosen it and bring it with you. Then in verse 3, he said, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord has need of them. Well, again, if you were the person who had the donkey and you were thinking about that, all of a sudden Jesus or a couple of guys come and take a donkey, and you're like, wait, where are you going with the donkey? And they say, well, Jesus needs it. The master needs him. The leader needs him. And they go, oh, okay, well, no problem. Why is that that took place? Well, here's the reason why. Because Jesus had already been there before them. Jesus had already made preparation for what was about to take place. You and I sit back today. I've talked to many, many people in our society as we go through this pandemic who are living in fear. And folks, let me tell you, Fear is the opposite of faith. The one thing that we must always understand is that Jesus already knows what's going to happen. He already knows the future. He has his children in the palm of his hand, that he will protect us. So we need to keep that in mind at times when fear wants to grasp us, when fear wants to wrap its arms around us and overtake us. Here's what I want you to always remember, and you can just say this to yourself. Jesus has already been there where I'm going. And we need to think about those things as we head into the future. Just like in this particular scripture today, as the disciples went down, as the disciples found, you know, the donkey and the colt and unloosened it and was taking it to the master who was in need, you know, it was already prepared the same way your future and mine has been prepared as we go forward. So when you think about those things, the answer to their question was going to be, if somebody asked, you know, why are you taking the donkey? It is because the Lord is in need of him. And the Lord had already prepped those who were going to hear him, already knew what was going to take place. See, we're able to bring to Jesus those who have an unbroken will. It's interesting that the word tells us that these were also unbroken animals. They had never been ridden by a human being. And yet Jesus didn't have any problem. The disciples didn't have any problem leading them to Jesus. Jesus didn't have any problem when he sat upon an unbroken beast of burden. But here's the one thing that you and I need to understand in our world today as well, is that the stubborn will of that unbroken colt submitted to Jesus. And so will the stubborn will of all those who keep turning against the call of Jesus within their life. Here's something that I know for sure that I can tell you, that one day every tongue will confess, and one day every person will bow a knee to Jesus Christ and say that he is truly Lord indeed. Whether you have a stubborn will or not, there are folks that I deal with continually that have a stubborn will, say, well, you know, I'm just not concerned about Jesus. And of course, my thought in a kind and loving way is that one day, every knee, including yours, will bow and every tongue will confess, including yours, that Jesus Christ truly is Lord. The stubborn will of the donkey was broken because Jesus had need of the colt. Now, as we think about the donkey, we see that picture. We begin to think about the crowds that we see in verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11 says that a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitude of those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Think about what kind of a celebration that was. Jesus is coming in. He is on the back of this unbroken donkey. People are cutting off the palm branches. They're laying them along the road in an act of worship as he goes forward. The disciples had taken clothes and put it on the donkey, and you can just hear the crowds. I mean, I bet Jesus probably felt like a superstar when it all came down to it, because he was hearing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so you would think at that point, all the folks were on his side. Now, remember what I said a minute ago, Roman rule was tough on the people. And they were actually thinking that there was going to be a king that was going to come to deliver them, you know, from the Roman rule. And then as time progressed and they realized that wasn't what it was all about, within less than a week's time, all the cheers of the people became jeers. All those people, you know, who were sitting there crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, essentially had turned against Jesus. All those who were thinking that he was going to deliver them were thinking about deliverance in a physical or a political type of way, where Jesus was talking about in an eternal life and a spiritual kind of way. And what happened was, when they learned what Jesus was really there all about, they were like, I'm not interested in that. I thought this was going to be something that was important. I thought this was going to be something meaningful and something that was going to be big to me. So all of a sudden, you could say that the cheers turned into jeers. You know, the Hosanna in the highest changed. You know, the crown him as a king turned into crucify him. And that was what, within less than a week's time, Jesus heard from many of those who were gathered around. You know, you sit back and you think about how crowds can be at times when they're gathered, how the cheers, you know, turned completely opposite into jeers, as they would say. You know, the blessings that became booze, the crown him that became crucify him, which he would hear in less than 1 week's time. You know, you think about that as we head into this time of Palm Sunday, as we begin to think about how Christ lived the kangaroo court and the trial, or if you could call it a trial. You think about, you know, the beating that he took for you and I, and you think about Calvary's cross. You know, when we sit back and think about it, often we say, how could somebody be so cruel? But here's one thing that we must always understand. Had it not been for the crucifixion, you and I would never have an opportunity for eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So it's kind of a bittersweet thing. It's bitter to see how he was treated. And yet it was sweet to understand that the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection brings us eternal life. So we thought about the donkey that was there and present at the triumphal entry. We thought about the folks that greeted Jesus as he made that entry into Jerusalem. And then as we see, as he got into Jerusalem, we think about the children. Verses 12 through 16 tell us something about our children. It says this. It says, then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. See, folks were in there trying to make profit because they knew that there were those who would show up who needed sacrifices for the temple, and it became a business. And that was something that was very unpleasing to Jesus. Notice what he said. My house, verse 13, shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Verse 14 says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed him. So there were a lot of great things that were taking place. Those that were that needed a touch of the master's hand were there to be healed by him. And verse 15 says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. I can only imagine what that must have been like. I know that one thing that I truly miss at Central Baptist Church is hearing the kids running around in the multipurpose building. I miss hearing them down the halls. I miss hearing them, you know, in the sanctuary during the times of church and seeing them just have a wonderful time. I could picture what it must have been like at the temple as the children were running around, and the word says that they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Boy, what a glorious sound that must have been to Jesus. And then at the same time, those who were the chief priests essentially were indignant about that. Verse 16 says that they said to him, being Jesus, they said, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then he left them and he went out to the city of Bethany and he lodged there. You know, Jesus actually rebuked those who were trying to rebuke the children for praising his name. So this morning, I have a couple of questions that I ask you. You know, when we think about this, are you like one of the children? The Lord tells us this, unless we have a childlike faith, you know how innocent and trusting children can be. They will trust you. You know, and that is why it is so important for us to do everything that we can to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they will have the opportunity to give their life to Christ and follow him. And we need to lead them by example. What a joy it is. I can't wait for the day when at Central Baptist Church, I get to hear those kids running through the halls again, to hear them on the color line and playing the games with Awana, and even to hear them in church talking to mom and dad. That is truly music to my ears. I know it was to Jesus as he essentially condemned those who were condemning the children for praising his name. As we head into this week of Easter, and we think about all the things that Christ has done for us, I want to ask you this morning, do you have that childlike kind of faith? Are you as wise as these children? And like the donkey, will you surrender your will to the Savior? Listen, if you've never done that, salvation awaits you today. Have you ever been that? Have you been that person that we've spoken about in the Word today? That is the stubborn one who wants nothing to do with Christ. Well, let me promise you this. If you are, just like I've said many times before, and even during this message, one day your knee will bow. One day your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you. He is knocking at your heart's door. If you have never taken the time in your life to be able to confess that you are a sinner to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask Him to save your soul, I want to beg you to do that right now. You can simply do this. You can say, Lord Jesus, today I understand that I am a sinner, that I need a Savior. Thank you, Father, for Calvary, Lord, for the resurrection, for conquering sin and death. Lord, help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I know from this day forward, I am a child of the King, never to look back. As I ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you had the opportunity to pray that prayer, you have become part of the family of God. That makes you and I brother or sister, whichever one it may be. And the really interesting thing we want to do for you is to help you in your walk along the way. If you did receive Christ today, I want to encourage you, send us an email, give us a call at Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can go to our website, which is oakridgecbc.org. You can find our email addresses, our phone numbers. Please let us know that you have trusted Christ. We want to try to get you some information to help disciple you in your walk with our Lord and Savior. Yeah, I can't wait for next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, we will celebrate Easter, although we might have to do that in a different fashion than what we're used to. God is truly good, and all the time, God truly is good. I want to just remind you that tomorrow, I'm going to take the time to update you on our all leadership team meeting. We call it our COVID-19 leadership team that will be that meets on Sunday mornings at 9:00 a.m. We'll give you a written update as well as a video update sometime tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Listen, know that we love you, and we can't wait for the day and the opportunity when we will have the opportunity to come together as God's people once again. Under the roof that we call Central Baptist Church. But until then, know that we love you, and may God bless you and keep you safe during this time of the pandemic.